Last time, I told you about mouth and words that we have to keep under control. And I told you about the negative and useless words, which includes lies, improper answers, jests, and jokes. And I told you about the lies in detail. And saying that somebody did something even though he didn't do that. Or adding or abstracting something from the words, or judging and condemning of what others did. They're all lies. So all the useless words that we speak are recorded in heaven, and we are going to give accounting for that. It doesn't apply to only Christians. It applies to every single person of the earth, even the worldly people. So they may receive blessing thanks to what they say, or they may, you know, experience curse because of what they say. But many people forget what they say. And so they don't even realize why they are suffering, because they forgot what they said. So they repeat this. They repeat it. So all the trials and afflictions and punishment of hell is waiting for them, right? On the contrary, positive and profitable words help you avoid the difficulties. When David was escaping from King Saul, he came across with Nabal, and he spoke, you know, some very careless words. So Nabal, you know, was about to be, you know, attacked and destroyed by David. You know, Nabal was a rich man. And King David didn't harm them. Usually, you know, armies, you know, hang around and they eat in the kettles of those, you know, citizens, right? But, you know, David's soldiers didn't do that. And they, even though they were in the property of Nabal, David actually, you know, protected what, you know, belonged to Nabal. So he was a rich man. When Nabal was, you know, shaving those, you know, sheep, David, you know, asked him, "We didn't harm your cattle. We didn't harm your property. I think we are in good relationship. I think we are in good terms." And then, if you ask your shepherds, they will say what we did. So please, in your good time, please give us something. You know, David made this request, but Nabal was an evil man. He was ignoring. He ignored what David said, and he spoke words, you know, evil words against David. And David is so evil. And he brought 400 soldiers, and tried to, you know, kill entire his household. He got so angry, right? It's not because, you know, David was so evil. You know, Nabal did something that he shouldn't do. So Nabal and his entire household was about to face very difficult thing. However, Nabal's wife, Abigail, was so wise, and she stopped the anger of David so that, you know, the Nabal's entire household could escape from the danger. And Abigail went to David, and, you know, she apologized for what, you know, her husband did. She humbled herself and apologized. So, you know, David could, you know, suppress and soothe, you know, his anger. So the man's household could escape from the danger. But Nabal was so surprised to hear it, and in 10 days he died. So curse of God came upon him. So David didn't kill him by his own hand. But Abigail, you know, Nabal's, you know, wise wife, treated David well, and Nabal died. So David, And now Abigail lost her husband, right? So David took Abigail as his wife. So Abigail received great blessing, right? So a wise words, positive confession can make people, escape from dangers. Abigail didn't, speak like that for her own benefit. She just followed goodness, and she discerned the fault of her husband, and she apologized, and it brought blessing to her. What about Peter? He made the proper and right in a confession of faith to Jesus, and he received the words of blessing. He received a great blessing from Jesus. So as you can see, depending on what you say, you can escape from the moment of death. You can go to the way of blessing. So results can vary depending on whether you speak the positive words or negative words. And you got to remember this, and you should speak only the positive, profitable words of truth. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." So, the words of grace, words of virtue, are in the profitable words. Words of giving faith, words of giving glory to God, words of saving souls, positive words of faith, in the words of evangelization, they are profitable words. So let me tell you about these words. First of all, let me tell you about a figure of the Bibles who spoke these words. The good example is Moses, the prophet. He was called a man who was very humble, more than any man on the face of the earth. Father God said this about Moses. However, Israelites piled a grudge and complaint and disobedience against Moses and God. And Moses was loved by God, and they knew it. Whenever the voice of God was heard, Israelites were afraid of it. So, please, reveal yourself only to Moses, and Moses will hear it, and he will deliver the message. They couldn't stand it before God. They knew that. And Moses was loved by God. Moses heard the words from God, and he delivered those messages. And thanks to Moses' faith and deeds, they were protected, and they witnessed the miracles of God. And they knew that. However, for their benefit, they complained. They begrudged against Moses. So God told them not to worship idols, but the Israelites worshiped idols when Moses was not around with them. They made a golden calf and they bowed down before that. They did evil things. So God said he would destroy them all. Then Moses gave prayer of thanks and love to God to save them. He said in Exodus 32:32, "But now, if you will, forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written." He made this prayer of emotion to God. Pastors, have you ever prayed for your souls? I don't think you can easily answer with confidence. You may feel sorry for those members, and you may help them. However, what about those who are disobedient, who don't listen to you, who criticize what you do? Can you pray for them? Do you love them? When they face trials, wouldn't you say, since they did something evil, they are obliged to get that. In the early history of Mamin, cell leader fasted for its member who is suffering a day or 3 days. They prayed for those members. Now, pastors, are you doing the same? The workers, do you resemble what Moses did? Who, you know, made his own life, you know, a security and pray? Can you repent before God on behalf of them? Or didn't you say, they are so evil, you know? It's natural for them to, you know, face that kind of trials. You know, Israelites hurt Moses' heart. They disobeyed the word of Moses. However, I mean, Israel, even though Israelites were not obedient, Israelites, you know, stood against Moses. He begged for, you know, forgiveness on behalf of them. He had such a beautiful heart and mouth. I'm saying that he has beautiful heart and beautiful lips. But when God heard it, what did he say? He said he would destroy them all. However, he changed his mind. What a beautiful moment is this. The Father God does not easily decide to give disaster or natural, you know, catastrophe. He's not such a God. But once he says, you know, he does it. He is the judge. However, when Moses made this prayer, which could touch his heart, he changed his mind. So, he gave another chance to Israelites. Now, the Israelites got this chance again. However, they disobeyed again. They stood against God and they complained against God. You know, and they were judged according to what they did. So you met Good Shepherd, and you work hard to go to good heaven. But depending on how you obey him well, it's up to you. Whether you obey and whether you go to New Jerusalem. Think of the first generation of Israelites who escaped from Egypt. Think about Deacon Stephan. He had such a beautiful heart and lips. In his heart, he got no hatred or jealousy. No evil was found in his heart. He spoke the words of life, but people, you know, threw stones at him. But against them, he said, "My Lord, do not, you know, put, you know, this sin against them." Now, these kind of words of goodness are not selective. It must be automatic. What does it mean? What does it mean by selective? Like, sometimes you speak words of goodness, but in other times you speak, you know, words of evil to someone you hate. You may speak the words of, you know, goodness a couple of times, but sometimes later you speak the words of not good or words of evil. In other words, it is not complete goodness. So Father God is pleased with you when you speak the words of goodness, but Father God will be sorry when you don't speak such words. And that's not perfect. So whatever you pray, you cannot receive answers to whatever you pray for. But what about Moses and Deacon Stephan? They spoke the words of goodness all the time because they had such a heart and their deeds were perfect. So whatever they said with their lips were also perfect in goodness. You know, God gave Moses answer when Moses, you know, prayed for his people. And Father God guaranteed what he prayed. But if you are selective and speaking, you're speaking the words of goodness, then what, even if you pray all the time, Father God cannot give answers whenever you pray. You should be able to speak the words of goodness automatically. You speak those words to anybody in any given situation, even to those who harm you. Those were evil. From time to time, in order to help others in a change, you may speak in a very strict advice. But this is also the word of inner goodness to change them. It is not the words from the evil intention. It can change others. So, when you say these kind of words of goodness automatically, I mean, what should you do? First of all, you should have no evil in you. Your heart should be filled with love. Father God wants you to have this kind of heart. And Father God wants you to listen to the words of goodness from that kind of heart. And Father God is searching for those people who can speak like that. And Father God is pleased with their good words. Father God has been hurt in his heart during the course of human cultivation. Even those who said that they believe in God spoke the words of, you know, evil. And Father God was sorry, and he was hurt. But he long endured. But when they changed, when they spoke the words of goodness, Father God is so much pleased. And then Father God, listens to his prayer and waiting. He is waiting to give the best he could give to those people. So his heart is consoled, comforted and suited with what we say. So, what we gotta be careful is not only lips, but also this. As the Lord said in Luke 6:45, the good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And he also said, his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So we gotta fill our heart with the truth and love. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Even though we speak beautiful words and plausible words, and then we gotta put the heart of love in it, otherwise it's useless. Now, there is a positive confession of faith. When you speak negative words, things will go hard. However, things will go bad. However, the positive confession and confession of faith make even impossible become possible. The importance of the positive in the confession of faith is written in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Israelites sent 12 spies over the land of Canaan. Moses chose, leaders from the 12 tribes and sent them as a spy. Moses, found 12 leaders and sent them. Now, 10 out of 12 made a negative report about the residents of Canaan. Numbers 13 verses 28 and 29 say, nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Well, it may sound that they spoke only the truth, but it sounds negative. We can say so because what Joshua and Caleb said was different from what these 10 people said. Wow, those cities are fortified and they are very large and the people in the land are so strong. But the Israelites had to go there and fight against them, right? So they could be afraid. So these are the negative words. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. So people were confused. Okay? They were gossiping. They were talking to each other. It is so dangerous. However, Joshua and Caleb made the confession of positive confession of faith. No way. We can take the land. Now, after what Joshua and Caleb said, the other 10 spies continued to make the negative report again. This is what we say. We say something, and someone said something against what we say. Then you exaggerate what you're about to say to show other people that what you think is right. So, the bad goes worse and good goes better. Think about, what 10 spies said and ask yourself whether you are doing like the 10 spies did. You insisted an idea and someone came up with an idea that is against your idea. So to make your idea pass but your idea to be accepted by others, you made the lies about your idea. What does it mean? You use the fleshly ideas. So what did these 10 spies say after Joshua and Caleb? Numbers 13, verses 31 and 33, they said, "But the man who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us.' So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report about the land, which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants and all the people whom we saw in it, and more, and are men of great size.'" They were supposed to say, they were supposed to make the report. And first they made the negative report. And after Joshua and Caleb said, you know, they exaggerate what they saw about, exaggerate there in the report. We cannot say they're wrong. They made the report, right? It's possible that, you know, they're big. They worked hard, the inhabitants of the land. But they were not soldiers. So they might be, you know, great in size. However, this is the negative report. This is the result of, you know, fleshly thoughts. But when Father God says, take it, then you take it. You don't need to use your fleshly thought. By faith, you can say, I can do it by the strength that Father God gives. But that's not what the 10 spies did. They made a report that that land is overflowing with milk and honey. But now they changed what they said. The land through which we had gone is spying it out as a land that devours its inhabitants. They didn't see all the inhabitants there. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the son of Anak, are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight. They used the negative and the fleshly thought. Think about grasshopper and Nephilim. And the grasshopper could be killed by Nephilim, right? This is what they said. They compared the Israelites and those inhabitants of the Canaan. So, Israelites got despair, disappointed. Numbers 14, verses 1 to 4. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. They wept. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." They said, you know, they want to appoint another leader to go back to Egypt. Wow, it's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, people are like this when they lose their faith. Father God didn't let them escape from Egypt to die in the wilderness. They asked for it. "Please save us from Egypt. We became slaves. Please save us." They prayed like that before. Now, they didn't do anything. They escaped from Egypt in peace. The masters who used to make them slave, Egyptians, make them, you know, leave. And they saw the miracles of God, you know, dividing the Red Sea. "Our wives and our little ones will become plunder." They grumbled against God. "Why Father God gives me this trouble?" Have you ever said like this in your life? As Christians, why life is so miserable? If you say so, you say it against God. If you left God, you got nothing to do with God. But you are a child of God. You are a Christian. But when you face some hardships, you grumbled, you grudge, you complain. If you are a son of God, then if you complain, then you complain against me. So, you should know complainment is not beneficial for you. You should never speak the negative words like in a tense file did against what Father God does. So, please, pay attention to what these Israelites said. In the difficulties of church, in the difficulties of your life, whether you made the same confession in your life. Then Joshua and Caleb said after Israelites said this. No, they got angry. No way. What ten spies said was wrong. And then Israelites got so in despair. And they spoke the words against God and Moses. They shouldn't do so. So Joshua and Caleb said in Numbers 14, verses 6 to 9, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. They tore their clothes. They got so angry at the Israelites and 10 spies. Now, this is the time that you gotta be righteously angry. You look at those people who ignore God, who despise God, who stand against God. Then you gotta be angry, righteously. Now, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. They said like this. They spied the same land, the same time. They were together. But Joshua and Caleb and 10 other spies made a different report. So ask yourself. You gotta check and examine your faith now. Whether you are speaking the words that will lead you to the way of destruction, or are you speaking the words that can please Father God and saying that impossible will become possible thanks to God's power. You look at the reality and use fleshly thoughts and make the negative words, the words without faith. And there is a Satan's work. Faith is the things to hope for, right? Israelites cannot find Almighty God who made them escape from Egypt and who divided the Red Sea. They only spoke the negative words. They were great in size and we are like grasshoppers and we could not take the land. That's what they said. But those who made the confession of faith, by faith, depended on God. If the Lord is pleased with us, in other words, we have to please our Father God. That's it. So only do not rebel against the Lord. They will be our prey. They make this confession. Faith, the fleshly thoughts, there's a big difference between them. Think about the history of this whole world. People who made a negative faith, negative confession, and those who made a positive confession of faith. When you see some trial, you feel like, you think like there is no God? No way. If you lose your faith, you cannot think of God. God doesn't exist in your heart. Then you can make this negative confession. You gotta remember this. The result of this confession was so great. Joshua and Caleb, who made a positive confession, went to the land of Canaan. But except these two, entire first generation of Israelites died in the wilderness. They died. They said so. It would be better to die in this wilderness. That's what they said. This word applies to our journey to heaven in our lives. Amazing God, the Lord who prays for us, if we believe them, if we believe in the shepherd who leads us to New Jerusalem, if you trust him, there is surely a relationship between the shepherd and the congregation. The shepherds, you know, takes care of the congregation, and the shepherds, you know, sacrifice and heart of love, and you know, affects, you know, all the congregation. Just like, you know, Moses prayed for his people, Father God listened to him. So if you believe in your shepherd and follow him, then you can make change and you can receive answers and you can go to New Jerusalem. However, if you look at the reality, if you are affected by your surroundings and mainly the negative confession, then you may lose your faith and fullness of the Spirit. Now, if you look at the reality, you got no faith. You are affected by the surroundings. You may receive good, you know, good effect. But don't pay attention to those rumors and lies, and don't look at them. Then don't be afraid of them. If you're like, even if they are like that, you know, I won't be like them. But if you're affected by them, no way. No matter how difficult the reality is, we should not be like the 10 spies who made the negative report and bring people to destruction. What about those, you know, you should not be like, you know, the people who were affected by those 10 spies. You're so full if you're like them. If they had followed Joshua and Caleb, you know, they would be saved and they would you know, land into the land of Canaan. But entire Israelites listened to the 10 spies and they followed them. And according to what they said, they died in the wilderness. It's impossible. It's difficult. It seems impossible. You should not speak these, you know, negative words. What you speak becomes the ground for Satan's accusation. What you say is recorded in heaven, and Satan uses it as a ground for their accusation. If you make the negative words, Satan and enemy devil, you know, gives you hardships based on that. Because you said so, it is done so. This is the spiritual principle. So if you are bothered, you'd better shut down your mouth. That's the better way, okay? If you keep complaining and complaining, it's not good for you. And avoid those people who complain. Otherwise, you may argue or you may be affected. But this is the wisdom that the wisdom of life. So you'd better say, it's good. It will be done. I can do it. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. Father God is on our side. He is with us. Father God will be glorified through my men. He is God of my men. When you speak these positive words and words of confession, then you can change your surroundings. If you confess like that, then you will be full of faith. And if you made this confession from the depths of your heart, even you can change the heart of others who listen to you. And Satan's works go away. So, and you can make, you know, good effect to your neighbors. I hope that through these positive words and in confession of faith, just like Joshua and Caleb did, may you receive answers and blessings. And there are profitable words that can give faith and the words of saving souls, which includes evangelization, encouragement, and consolement. Mark 1:38, the Lord said, He said to them, Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also. For that is what I came for. And Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." And he also said in Ephesians 9:16, "And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel." The best profitable words is to preach the gospel of holiness to save souls eternally. Even if you don't receive any praise on this earth, Father God will praise you in heaven. So whether it is time or not, you'd better speak the words of evangelization. And there are words that can, you know, remove life from people. It is warned in the Bible against the words of making people tremble. You should never speak like that. If you speak like that, and if others, you know, lose faith because of that, then you may think of the grinding stone. It is a huge, you know, rock, like in dozens of, you know, grown-ups, you know, and rotate the stone. You'd better put that stone around your neck and, you know, drown in the water. If you speak the words of, you know, if you speak the negative words and make others, you know, lose faith. In case you speak like that, there are chances are that in a situation like that, you know, there are people or family member left this church, and other members of the family come to this church, then you gotta pay attention to them and you gotta love them more. But you ask them, why your other family don't show up in the church? You may hurt them. You'd better pray for them. You gotta love them more. You gotta pay more attention to them. But why didn't you go there together? Or if someone had a different idea than yours, then you just go with them. You are making them lose their faith. You should never speak like that. You gotta repent of them. Now, we have to, you know, we'd better, you know, pretend as if nothing happened. We'd better embrace them with tears out of love for them when they come back. Sometimes, you know, we pretend, you know, as if they didn't leave church from the beginning, so that, you know, they would not be embarrassed. We gotta be full of love, full of mamin, full of love like this. And when people commit sin, you may advise them or you may encourage them to have faith. They are the words of giving life. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." However, as you advise, you gotta do it according to 1 Thessalonians 2:11 says, which says, "Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children." And it is only possible when you have no ill feelings, but only the mercy and love in your heart, fathers. Why doesn't it change like that? If you have ill feelings like that, then even if you speak the words of goodness, it cannot give life to others. So first, you gotta look back on your heart and get rid of the ill feelings and pray with love and inspire by the Holy Spirit and encourage others or give advice to others. Even though it seems slow, the result would be great. So, don't hurry. But speak only with goodness and love. Then you can bear fruit. Proverbs 15:23 says, "A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word." Even though those words are beneficial, seems, you'd better speak according to time and place and to someone that you speak to. Nowadays, you know, novel coronavirus is around and people are putting masks. But you don't put on masks because you are not afraid of it. So you may say, I got nothing to do with it. If you go to public place, it is an etiquette, okay, according to time. Not in the sanctuary, you know, there is nobody, you know, who puts on the mask. So, thank you. But if you go to a public place in a worldly place, when all the worldly people, you know, put on masks, then you'd better put on. Now, you preach the gospel. Someone is very careful, but you don't put on a mask and you speak. Then the people will shut down their heart and they will not listen to you. You gotta be careful. But I'm not saying that you should shut down your mouth and not evangelize people. You'd better use your wisdom. So you may put on a mask, just like in other worldly people do, and you may speak softly or more loudly so that people can listen. Then you may use different thoughts when they listen to you. You may use all kinds of wise methods according to time. One more thing that I would like to ask you is that you should not have worldly conversation in any place inside church. In a church, you should have the conversation of truth only. There should be no fleshly conversation, such as about business and about what you eat and what you wear. So far, I told you about the profitable words, such as words giving grace and virtue and faith and life. We should speak only the profitable words. But sometimes, even if you want to speak like that, it doesn't go as you decide. Why is that? The answer can be found in Luke 6:45. The Lord said, "The good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil." Now, you don't like your spouse. If you speak, if you complain, then you may not be in good terms. You think deeply and you pray. If I say something like this, and then you think about the past moments, and you decided not to speak the words of poking his heart. So you thought about something. So we may have very repeated situations, right? So you thought about something and you could speak words. Even when you said, then your husband react in goodness. However, you spoke the words of goodness to your husband, but your husband speaks in the words of evil to you. Then ill feelings come out automatically, which means you are not ready. Okay? In unwanted situation, you react like that. So what should you do? You'd better change your heart first. You gotta have goodness in your heart first. Then every word that you speak can be the word of goodness. So for example, inside the well, there is a very dirty things inside. Then you cannot, you cannot get the clean water. So in order to speak the words of goodness, you gotta have goodness in your heart first. If the well is dirty, you may go inside and clean it. But you cannot do it with your heart. So what should you do? You may have to clean your heart all the time so that you can speak the words of goodness. How? The answer can be found in the Bible. Do what the Bible says, do it. And don't do what the Bible says not to. You gotta cast off what Bible tells you to cast off and keep what the Bible tells you to keep. This is the process of removing spiritual dirt, that is, the sinful attributes from your heart with the word of truth. To the extent of your heart is washed away like this, you may speak the words of goodness and truth. However, something dirty is too old. Then, just like you scrape your vessel, there is a spiritual, you know, scrape that is called in the fasting. Okay? If you have a resolution and if you pray to have a heart of goodness, then the grace of God and help of the Holy Spirit may help you so that you can be cleansed out. Well, I pray, I try hard to live by the word. But, you know, I've been in this mommy church for 10 years, but my heart is not clean yet. Well, your heart can be cleansed. Your heart is much cleaner when your heart is compared with the heart of worldly people. But when you compare your heart with those in the heart of the Father God, it may look dirty. But don't get disappointed. Keep on working. And eventually, your heart will be clean, and you may speak the words of goodness all the time. You may speak the words of truth, words of virtue, words of grace, words of life all the time. In any given situation, you may not speak the words of untruth. Even if evil people speak the words of evil to you, you may talk back with words of goodness. And you may make the deeds of goodness all the time. If your heart is changed, since your heart is cleansed, your words is clean, and your actions are clean too. Your hearts are clean. Your heart is clean. But your words are not clean? No way. If your heart is perfectly clean, then your words and deeds can be clean. 1 John 3:18 says, "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." Say, someone is very hungry. He cannot afford something to eat. Then you say, "I'm sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. What should I do? What should I do? You just help. But you just say, what should I do? Of course, you may cry because you feel sorry, but that's not goodness. So what should you do? You just provide him with, you know, something to eat. That's true goodness, isn't it? So even if you say a word, it is not good. You gotta have, you know, goodness in deed and truth. So to do so, you have to clean your heart first, right? At the same time, you have to be careful with what you say. While you are, you know, making your heart in the good field, while you are cleansing your heart, you have to speak the words of goodness. You know, you cannot shut your mouth down until your heart is cleansed. So while, you know, cleansing your heart, you have to be very careful with what you say. Well, I made a mistake. You repent and, you know, change. You gotta be careful with what you say. Okay? Then you can cast off those, you know, useless words. Psalm 39 verse 1 says, "I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence." So when you say something, shut your mouth and wait. Instead of saying something without thinking, then you may make a mistake and you may commit sin. So you may close your mouth and think about what you're about to say. Okay? Wait. And ask yourself whether what you're going to say is truth and goodness. And even if it is truth, whether it is necessary for someone that you are going to speak to. Last, even though it is necessary, it may give virtue and grace to someone that you are speaking to. If you check yourself with what you're going to say like that, then all the useless words will be reduced. Psalm 141 verse 3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Remember this and keep your heart and lips so that you can speak the words of truth all the time with your lips. Let me conclude this message. I told you about profitable words with your lips. There are words of giving virtue, giving goodness, giving grace, and giving truth. And I told you about the confessions of Moses and Deacon Stephen. And I told you about positive confession of faith. And I told you about 12 spies. of Canaan land. Third, I told you about the words of giving faith, words of giving life. I told you about the lips of evangelization and visits and encouragement. And another word that Father God is pleased with is the prayer, the words of prayer, the lips of prayer and praise. With that lips, when we sing and praise, Father God listens to us. But if you pray with sin, He does not listen to you. So you got to repent of your sin first, and you got to earnestly pray to change, then Father God will listen to you. And Father God is pleased with your praise. Isaiah 43:21 says, "The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise." And Psalm 150 verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." We are saved. We're children of God. Then we gotta praise with our lips. Even during the difficult times, we gotta give praise of joy and thanks. Psalm 42 verse 5 says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence." In your difficulties, don't be in despair, but remember God and hope for God, who is Almighty, who is your Father. And sing praise again for Him. If you're in difficulties, you cannot sing praises. But if you have faith, then even if you're in a difficult situation, you may sing praises to God. And you can find Father God's helping hand. Think about David, who suffered, who gave the praises and psalms out of thanks and joy. He was under, you know, difficulties. He was walking the valley of death. But he made a confession of faith that, you know, God becomes his shepherd. And he does not worry. He was being chased by King Saul. Even in that situation, he made a positive confession of faith. He praised the Lord, God. He is the rock. He is the shelter. He made this kind of confession. If you have this in your life, then Father God will not sit still with you. Wow, my son is making that confession of faith even though he is going under, you know, difficulties. I gotta help him. And he will send you the helping angels. So, we have to make this confession of faith. And our lips should confess the power of God and His works. You may rejoice with your heart. Then you don't make the confession of faith, then you cannot glorify God. Psalm 105 verse 2 says, "Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders." All the blessings and miracles and signs and wonders, if you confess them and glorify God, then Father God will add His blessing to you. Father God has divinity. When He is glorified for what He did, He is pleased. And He will give us even greater blessing. So, there are so many people who were protected, who were healed in this moment church. We should give thanks for that. And we got to have this kind of thanks. And we sing praises to God with the positive confession of faith. May the blessing come to you. Psalm 50 verse 23 says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God." Always find the reasons for thanksgiving, then Father God will give you blessing. May beloved brothers and sisters speak the words of, you know, profitable words and pray and praises to God. I wish you may have these beautiful lips. May you be blessed and experience the glory, experience the miracle that impossible become possible and possible things become even better. Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world.
plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.